And now Jonah shares his story with us, with you and me. And he's inviting us to live in God's grace for ourselves. And he's inviting us to share God's heart of grace for a city chock full of enemies.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're with us today as we wrap up our series in Jonah. Now, Pastor Philip, today we're coming to the end of Jonah. Does he get that fish smell off of him? Everybody wants to know, how does this story end?
Yeah, it's full of drama right here at the end, right? So Jonah's throwing a fit on the hill outside of Nineveh. He's calling down condemnation on his enemies. He's refusing to allow God to extend grace to them if it means forgiveness and hope and a future for people that have hurt him and his people in the past. And God's teaching Jonah through this plant, and he gives him a plant and takes it away to help him realize that God's mercies, he will give his mercies to whomever he wants, and he will withhold mercy from those he wants. So in other words, God can't be manipulated. He's free to bestow his saving grace on anybody he wants, and Jonah's going to have to learn to accept that. And then it ends with this beautiful appeal from God, who says, should I not have compassion on this great city? And it's an invitation here at the end to share God's heart of redemption for a city full of people that have hurt us and enemies. And it's not hard, Pastor Larry, to connect the dots, because we can feel like we're in a city or a culture that is hostile to God in so many ways and hurts us at times.
Yeah.
And yet God is still wanting to redeem and save all people, including people that hurt us. So it's an invitation for each one of us to see the mission of God for our lives, to see his gospel of grace reach all peoples, even people who have caused us trouble. And so it's very applicable for each one of us. So that's where we're going today.
All right. Are you ready to be encouraged? We go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we discover that God's grace moves our heart. Now, this is part three of the sermon, The Scandal of Grace. We're in Jonah chapter 4, verse 10.
Look at verse 10. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night, it perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? It's an interesting end. God says, look, Jonah, look how big your emotions were about that tiny little plant. You cared about that plant because it was valuable to you. You enjoyed its shade. You saw its beauty. You prized its life. And when it was taken away, you grieved its loss, didn't you? Your world would never be the same without the plant. And yet, Jonah, it was just a plant. You were hardly invested in it. You didn't plant it, you didn't water it, you didn't cultivate it, you didn't fertilize it, you didn't trim it, you did nothing. Just showed up and it went away. But should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? Jonah, this city is full of image bearers made by me. I gave them life and breath and everything else. And even though they have run far from me and broken my heart and done evil in my sight, I cannot stop pursuing them in love and compassion, because they are my long-lost children. They don't even know their right hand from their left. This was a common idiom used of toddlers. You know, toddler is like, which one is this, right or left, right? That's the picture. They don't know. They just don't know. They don't know which way is up. They don't have a clear moral compass. They're confused and walking through life, doing the best they know how, and it's a mess, and they're full of sin and brokenness, and it's tragic, but I love them. And when God sees his lost children little toddlers, ignorant, not innocent, but ignorant. God's heart is drawn in compassion for them, and God longs to forgive them, for they know not what they do. And not only does God see a city full of lost children, he also sees much cattle. This is so weird, isn't it? And the cattle. Why the cattle? Why does this surprise you that God would care about the cattle? What's up with the cattle? Remember, Jonah was just upset about the destruction of a plant, right? He didn't give a lick about the city, but he cared about the plant. And God is pointing out that Jonah didn't even once consider the amount of animal suffering that would occur if the city were to be destroyed. You didn't even care about the dogs, the cats, the cattle. Like, if I brought judgment on all those human beings, the animals would suffer too. And you don't even care. Jesus says a sparrow doesn't even fall to the ground unless the Lord takes notice of it. God cares for the cattle too. And so here's the lingering question. The book ends. It doesn't resolve. It's lingering here. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left and also much cattle? Should I not? And don't you see, this is an invitation. It's an invitation. God is inviting Jonah to share his heart for the city. God invites Jonah to share his heart for the city. What will he do? I'm reminded of another man, 700 years later, who would stand on another hill overlooking another city filled with another group of enemies. But instead of anger, this man is weeping. Instead of calling down compassion, or calling down condemnation, this man cries out in compassion. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. This is Jesus in Matthew 23. Notice the word Jesus uses for the people in the city. Children. Children. They don't know their right hand from their left. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And notice the imagery that Jesus chooses for himself. He says, I'm like a mother hen. I'm like a chicken. Jesus blows your world up every so often, doesn't he? Jesus, you're pretty cool. Why don't you pick a better bird? Like, be an eagle or something. Come on, right? With cool talons and like, why does Jesus pick a chicken? Why? Because when the fox comes, all the chicken can do is throw its own body into the mouth of a predator to protect the chicks. The hen lays down her life for her young. And don't you see, friends, Jesus is the Jonah who should have been. Instead of waiting around wanting to die rather than see his enemies be saved, Jesus laid down his life to save his enemies. On the cross, Jesus became sin for us, and he threw his body into the open jaws of death so that he might shelter us forever under his wings of righteousness. That we who were once enemies of God, estranged from him, might have our lives now hidden in Christ because of his grace. Now, if you're wondering about Jonah, I do think he finally turned the corner. After all, he wrote us this story. And even though the book bears his name, Jonah goes out of his way to write himself as a fool, doesn't he? He does not look good in this narrative. He messes up at every turn. He's not the hero of the story. God is the hero of the story. And Jonah wants us to make sure we understand that. which means that Jonah got it. He finally got it. He saw his self-righteousness. He realized his sinfulness. He finally understood that God's salvation is by grace alone. That's why he writes himself the way he does. Because grace, when you live in grace, friends, it means there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to hide, and there's nothing to prove. You can take your sinful life of self-righteousness and hold it up as a trophy of the grace of God, because that's all that matters. And the way Jonah writes this story shows us that he learned in the end to finally live in the grace of God for himself. And he learned to share God's heart of grace for a city that was chock full of his enemies. And now Jonah shares his story with us, with you and me. And he's inviting us to live in God's grace for ourselves. And he's inviting us to share God's heart of grace for a city chock full of enemies. The lingering question for Jonah and for us is this: should we not pity this great city? Should we not pity this great city? Friends, like Jonah, we have been called to a great city. Not Nineveh, Chicago. Some of you live far out, and maybe you're not called to the city, but you're called to a culture that in many ways has rejected God and has run in the other direction. And it might feel like the world is full. The world you're called to reach is full of enemies. Political enemies, economic enemies, moral enemies. How do we share God's heart for this great city? You see the question? How do we share God's heart for this great city? Quickly, as we wrap up, three don'ts and three do's, okay? Three don'ts and three do's, all from this story. Number one, don't run the other way. Don't run the other way. Don't retreat. Don't escape, don't isolate, don't form a little Christian bubble, and stay away from the big bad world. Jonah tried that. It did not go well. We are sent into the city, into the culture, into the group of people rejecting God on mission from God. That's where we're sent, right? We don't run away. Secondly, don't call down condemnation. Don't stand outside the city and just hope God fries it. Friends, we never give up on people because people are never beyond the grace of God. We never give up on people because people are never beyond the grace of God. Third, don't make it us versus them. Don't make it us versus them. Jonah did this. He said, God, it's me or Nineveh. Either you're going to get me or you're going to get them. The godly versus the ungodly. It's a war. We got to win this one, God. Bring it down on the bad people. Defend the godly people. It's us versus them. Friends, listen, God loves all the people of this great city. He longs to see all of his lost children come home to find repentance in the mercy and grace of God. There are no exceptions. God longs to see all of his lost children come home. And they may not look like you, vote like you, act like you, behave like you, but God loves them. Don't make it us versus them. So three don'ts, here's three do's. Do, serve with sacrificial love. Do, serve with sacrificial love. Friends, Jesus wept with compassion over the city, didn't he? And he entered into the city to serve and sacrifice at great personal risk for himself. And he gave himself away for others. And he says, come, follow me. Secondly, do speak truth and grace. Do speak truth and grace. Jonah was all truth, no grace, right? But grace and truth came in Jesus Christ, both at once. John 1:17. Truth without grace is harsh. Grace without truth is sentimental. But grace and truth together are redemptive. The third do is do keep the gospel central. Do keep the gospel central. Friends, it is so easy these days to get distracted, to make secondary things the main thing of our lives. The whole world is out there trying to tell you the point of your life is to build your career. The point of your life is to survive inflation and economic posturing so that you can outlive a recession. The goal of your life is politics and getting the right people in office so you can finally have whatever it is that you think you want. The goal of life is to build a nest egg and take care of your family so your kids can have a better life than you had. Like, listen, all of these things are good things, but they're important things, but they're not ultimate things. The ultimate thing, the most important thing we are called to in this life is the mission of God, the message of the gospel to redeem a lost world one soul at a time as people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are sent out on mission into this great city, and we've got to keep our focus. The gospel is the main thing, and we've got to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen? Because friends, God is unrelenting in his grace for undeserving people. It's our only hope before God. And it's the only hope for this great city. So let's go share the gospel, love like Jesus, give ourselves away. It's the only thing that has ever changed the world. We get to be a part of it. Praise the Lord.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you're with us today as we consider how God's grace changes our hearts. Now, Pastor Philip, a heart like Jonah is not going to change our city. It's not going to change our world. We don't need a Jonah heart, do we?
No. It's an invitation to share the heart of God, a heart of compassion for a city full of people that don't know what they're doing, right? And that's the heart here. And I think this is just really practical for us at the end of the story. We all have to ask the question, what does it mean to share the heart of God, for a heart of compassion for the cities in which we live, the states in which we live, the country in which we live? How do we go out and represent Christ well to make the gospel the main thing that we're on about in this world? And it's kind of like, you know, NASCAR. I think of NASCAR, those cars going around the track, you know, they have a lot of stickers on them, right? And there's lots of things you represent in life. You're a mom, you're a dad, you're a CEO, you're a laborer, you're whatever you are, you got stickers on there, right? You have hobbies, you have things you stand for, you have political affiliations, you've got all this stuff, right? You're in clubs and whatever. So you have stickers on your life, but there needs to be a dominant brand that's recognizable. When you zoom out and see the car, you know that's this car. It's that brand. It has these colors. That's the dominant scheme. And all those little stickers don't override it,
yes.
You know? And so the reality is, for us as followers of Jesus Christ, the dominant colors and brand that we are to carry into the world is the brand of Jesus Christ and the gospel of salvation in his name.
Yes, sir.
And so I think this is challenging, though, because there's all these people and groups and whatever that are vying for our identity, for our life's purpose. They want us to represent all these other things in the world, politically, whatever, economically, business-wise, whatever. And it's so easy to let those sort of labels and whatever encroach on our lives in such a way that it starts to diminish the way we represent Christ in the world. And I think I think what we're meant to do is to shine Jesus so loudly, so clearly, not obnoxiously, but with clarity and conviction in a way that's contagious, that when people see you, they go, that's the Jesus guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing they think of, right? Not your political affiliation, yeah. Not your economic status, not your job title. That the first thing they would label you with is, that's the guy that loves Jesus, right? That's the guy who won't stop talking about the grace of God. It's like the big thing in his life. I think that's what we're supposed to be.
Hmm.
And to shine and share and show the love of Christ wherever we go in word and deed, so that our actions are complementary and are adorning the gospel. So we're loving people well, we're serving their communities, we know the people we live around, we know their names, their stories, we know their pain points. They're in our lives in such a way that we're building bridges for the sake of the gospel. We're representing Christ as our main thing. And I think that's the challenge. We want that to be front and center in our lives. And so that's my prayer. That's my prayer for my wife and I and our family in the little neighborhood that we call home. And that's my prayer for all of us as representatives of Christ, that we would bear his name in the world, that would be what we're known for, and that would be the dominant narrative and the color scheme, if you will, of our lives as we drive around the track in this world that we call home.
A life transformed by the power of his Holy Spirit, God's grace changing our hearts. I love the image there of the car with the big sticker on the side of it. So our listeners who have been with us in this series, what's the big takeaway from Jonah as we step back, maybe for you personally? Hmm. What's the big takeaway from Jonah?
Well, I'm just amazed at the grace of God, right? We keep saying this, that God is unrelenting in his grace for undeserving people. And I'm one of those people.
That's right, right? Me too.
God has reached down and saved us by grace. We don't deserve this. We are objects of his mercy, trophies of his grace.
That's right.
And in some ways, we're never meant to get over that. You know, it's so radically transformative to be loved by God in spite of who we are for Jesus' sake, because he was made sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And he saved us all the way down. This is amazing grace. And that grace ought to become the framework through which we view all of life. And we view the mission of God, that God wants to reconcile all peoples to himself, including people who've hurt us or people who we view as enemies, enemies in life, enemies politically, enemies culturally, people that, you know, have different agendas in this world. And yet, God still loves, is still pursuing, still sent Jesus to lay down his life for, and wants to reconcile to himself, and might be using us as agents of gospel work in their life to show and share the love of Christ. So we can't slack off. We got to press in and share God's heart of compassion for our cities and our country and our world. And we don't give up on this world before God does.
That's,
you know,
right.
We lean in and we stay on mission. That's what it's all about.
That's right. Oh, be encouraged today, beloved. You can be on mission for God, because when he gets a hold of your heart, when his grace changes your heart, you now have a heart that's tenderized for God, quick to say yes to God, and sensitive to the needs of others. In the end, it's grace that tenderizes our hearts for God's mission. That's why we're sharing Dory's thrilling story, from a girl nobody loved to a missionary bringing God's love to New Guinea. Now, these are the last days to get your copy of the book, Dory, The Girl Nobody Loved, for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Now, next time, join us as we begin a dynamic new series through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You don't want to miss it. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.